Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. And this is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5, 7, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with a loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. I call to your attention the phrase, in the days of his flesh. Today we will be considering the earthly life and ministry of our Lord. This is a communion Sunday, as is evident. It is my task to set before you the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are instructed to do this in remembrance of me. It's not something we tag on at the end of the service. Everything focuses on what we are going to do. And our hymns, much of the scripture reading, and the sermon is geared to direct your focus upon the Lord, and particularly the focus that we're going to consider today is the earthly life and ministry of our Lord. Notice the words of our text, in the days of his flesh. What do we understand from that? Well, the flesh of Christ in scriptures can be taken two ways. First of all, it can be taken in what we would consider as the natural realm. It is a reference to his whole human nature. We read in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh. Think of that. The Word is a reference to Christ. Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten from the Father and full of grace and truth. The Word, Christ, became flesh. Turn with me now, if you will, in your Bibles, to 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Now from this last phrase in the verse, we understand that in the sense in which we are speaking of Christ being in the flesh, Christ still continues in the flesh. The body in which he suffered and rose from the dead was altered. Upon his resurrection and ascension as to its qualities, but not as to its substance. It still consists of flesh and bones. He's in the glorified state, yes. And so will we be in the glorified state. Post-resurrection, what did Christ tell the disciples? See my hands, my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. The word flesh, as applied to Christ in our text, has to do with the frailties, the weaknesses, the infirmities of our nature. It is a reference to human nature, not yet glorified, with all its infirmities to which our Lord was exposed. Was he not? Was he not exposed to hunger, thirst, weariness, labor, sorrow, grief, fear, pain, wounding, and death itself? This aspect of Christ's life was expressed earlier by the writer to the Hebrews. And I'm going to ask you to turn there. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also, a reference to Christ, is composed with infirmity? So what then are the days of his flesh? It is evident that in general, his whole course and walk in this world may be considered as the days of his flesh, beginning at Bethlehem and his birth until he was crucified, buried, and rose again. From the cradle to the grave. The particular emphasis in our text has to do with his suffering, his offering himself up as a sacrifice for sin. And that's what we're going to remember here in the partaking of these elements. We are remembering the offering of himself up as a sacrifice for sin. And we see that at the time he offered himself, he was in fact encompassed with infirmities, which we will note later. Now, the next words of our text are a reference to his act of oblation. Let me say the word again, oblation. What do we mean by oblation? We mean the act of offering. The act of offering is known as oblation. Our text that we read earlier says this: in the days of his flesh, his human life, he offered up both prayers and supplications. Our Lord did that in the days of his flesh. We have pointed out that these days of the flesh were days in which were characterized by weakness, even in human nature. It was a human nature he had voluntarily taken upon himself. Sometimes I've thought about it, and I'm sure you have. Can you imagine the impact of having been in glory and in heaven for all eternity, and to take upon himself the form of a man and be in a crib in a manger? This do in remembrance of me. How often do we remember that? Well, maybe once a year at Christmas time. As oft as you partake of this, do this in remembrance of me. We should think of his incarnation more than once a year. We should even think of his incarnation when we partake of these elements. Oh yes, primarily and foremost on his death. That's why we have the broken bread and the wine as symbols of his broken body and his shed blood. To shake our memory into realistic thinking. But there's some other things we can think about in doing this in remembrance of me. The work of offering himself as a sacrifice for sin could not be done without infinite suffering. Dear people, think of this. Here is the eternal Son of God. Let that soak in. The eternal Son of God. Doing what? Offering up himself as a sacrifice for the sins of those he came to save. And he offers both prayers and supplications with a loud crying and tears. The words denote not a degree of the acting of grace in Christ, but the highest degree of earnestness in the acting of his mind, his soul, and his body. Another token of that wonderful conflict wherein he was engaged, which no heart can conceive and no tongue can express. Did you know that the Lord prophesied, or it was prophesied of our Lord, this very thing? Did you know that? Turn with me to Psalm 22. And this is what we call a messianic psalm. Does that confuse you? This is a messianic psalm. What do you think messianic means? It means it's about Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the sent one from God. And so a messianic psalm is about Christ. And it's prophetic of what was going to happen. Look at Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou dost lay me in the dust of death. That was written way before Christ ever was crucified or born. But it's an exact description of his death. How could that be? Because all of heaven knows and knew. He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying. Such was his condition of his soul. Such was his prayer. It is true that his tears are not mentioned in the actual account of his death on the cross, but weeping was one of those infirmities of our nature to which he was subject. On another occasion, we read, Jesus wept. Have you thought about that? Jesus wept. It's really something when we see others weep. What does it do to you to see somebody cry? When I worked in the migrant clinic and we had a day designated for children, and on that day, particularly, they would give inoculations. And that was the noisiest migrant clinic. Kids screaming. And I looked over and sitting in a chair was this little boy who wasn't screaming. But big old tears was running down his cheeks. It's just quiet. He was going to get a shot. He wasn't screaming and crying and kicking his feet. Just these tears were rolling down his cheek. I said to the nurse, you give that boy two pieces of candy. There's something about it that moves you when somebody else is crying. And of course it depends on what the circumstances are. Maybe it's because of pain. Maybe it's because of suffering. Maybe it's because somebody just died. Jesus wept. Think about that when we come to the table with the elements. Jesus wept. He was moved to tears. Now he's in great distress, approaching the cross. Conflict and sorrow had reached his soul. Jesus wept. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, speaking of our Lord. We have clearly stated for us in these words, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. And tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Well, this is going to be a longer sermon than we're going to have time for. And I think this might be a good place to stop. And I do want us to think about Christ on the cross and the suffering on the cross. That's very much a part of why we're here, for the Lord's table. But as I have emphasized, I want you to think about some other things. I want you to think about those tears that he shed, our Lord.